He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, July 7th, 2023. I hope you're headed into the weekend. You know that. I hope your week has been fulfilling. I hope you feel like you've been operating at peak efficiency. You've been optimized. When I say efficiency, I don't mean like spending every second of every day being productive. I just mean doing what is most, what's best for you. I hope you spent your week doing that, whether it's working, whether it's making love, whether it's, you know, writing your congressperson, whether it's laughing at the Supreme Court, whatever it is, I hope you had a great week and you're headed into a big weekend. My daughter just asked me, Dada, right as she was falling asleep this Thursday night, Dada, why does there always a time? Why is there always a time? And I was like, dude, I'm gonna have to get back to you on this one, friend. Why is there always a time? So we can mark, so we know when we're late. That's all I said, because just so you know when you fuck up and let someone down and not be good on your word. That's why. It's just another totalitarian system in place to keep us in line and from questioning things. The innocence of childhood. Why is there a time? Well, because we're not Brazilian. That's why, sweetheart. Because it matters in this country when we show up. In Brazil, it's a little bit different. Something, writing is rewriting, right? Write, what do they say about writing? Write what you know, and then writing is rewriting, editing. I changed one line in a joke last night, and it hit. I'm going to measure it, of course, across this weekend. I don't know if I can tell you, because I have two more on Saturday night. I have two more don't tell comedy shows. And I hope one of these days that fucking empire asks me to do a actual stand-up set in a bicycle shop or a makeup store and somewhere, and people can come see me play Madison Square Garden. I got jokes. I'm just old and white and male and cockstraw. Oh, old, white, heterosexual male. We had a fucking time, okay? That's why I'm here with you, because you don't judge me on the surface. You judge me for things that are judge-worthiness. All right, you know, well, who fucking cares? Anyway, I'm doing don't tell comedy. And I'm going to do the joke. The writing is rewriting thing. I don't mind when crowds groan, but I'm not trying to troll anybody. I'm trying to make people laugh. I'm not trying to make them squirm. But I have one little thing where I say, I'll tell you the joke, or something along the lines of joke. There's a line where I say, it's about being an older dad and walking down the street. It looks strange when I'm holding the hand of a toddler and I'm dressed like a priest. Okay? That's, you know, it's childish, right? Oh, sorry. The setup is... Here's the bit. I'll do the whole bit. I'll burn the bit to all of my listeners. The bit is this. In my neighborhood, there's a creepy old dude who a lot of people think, I don't know if you can hear the music, it's Heartless Bastards with All This Time. I think it's almost over. The bit is, there's a creepy old dude in my neighborhood who a lot of people think might be a pedophile. And I'm not. I'm just an old dad, old first time dad. So I'm just an old dad. So it looks strange when I'm walking down the street holding a toddler's hand dressed like a priest. Okay. Now the twist right at the beginning about, and I'm not, usually gets a nice hearty response from the crowd. When I say dress like a priest, it usually gets more of like a groan, squirm, whatever. You know, maybe you are really kind of a pedo. And I don't want that. I want to keep it moving and I want to keep the laughs high. So last night at the Laughing Skull Lounge, Wednesday night open mic. I only have maybe three more of them. It's very possible I only have three more Wednesday night hosting slots in my Laughing Skull career. Wow. I'm going to have to hang up. Are they going to hang my microphone up in the rafters? Next to the skeleton that's teabagging the security camera? Three more. Wow, that's crazy. I'm leaving Atlanta in exactly 3 weeks' time. I'm very unsure about it. I don't know if all the trains are on the right tracks. I'm almost in denial about all the great people I see on a daily basis I'm not going to see as frequently. I'm a little emotional about it. But let me tell you about how I improved my joke. So it usually gets a nice little hit when I say, I'm just an old dad. I've tried to go into it like, I don't even really like kids. Let alone do I want to make out with one. You know, that's, you know, what are we trying to do? How far am I trying to go into that? Like, hey, what's up? You like Peppa Pig? You know, that's my shit too. I'm not trying to take 5 minutes and make little pedo jokes, right? That's just not where my heart is. So I try to say it looks strange walking down the street dressed like, holding a toddler's hand dressed like a priest. But priests, because they really are in the hall of fame of systematic abusers of children, I think. You have to also tip your cap to the Boy Scouts who've thrived in that regard. Who, the Boy Scouts, please never forget, molested their way into bankruptcy. I don't think Harvey Weinstein did that. You know, I think the Boy Scouts, they're on the list. Are the Boy Scouts on the list? Boy Scouts or the Catholic Church for the list? They're both on it. So they can't make the list. They're on the Mount Rushmore of molesters. Boy Scouts, Catholic Church, anyway. The fact that the Catholic Church are so synonymous with taking advantage and abusing and destroying the lives of young children, because they are so synonymous with that. You can't look at someone in a priest collar, if you fucking can read, and not think they might have a little dirt on them. Does that mean that they do? No. But if you're not thinking that a little bit, you're not paying attention. I don't mean that judgmentally. I'm just describing something. The priests, you know what I mean? They're so synonymous with the sexual abuse, the violation of children, the robbing of children, the stealing of their innocence, and like I said, destroying their lives. And that's not meant to further heap abuse on the abused, but it seems to fuck up a person's life quite a bit. They're so entwined with this evilness that when I say it in the crowd as a joke, say it to a crowd as a joke, they groan. They go, you're like, why'd you have to bring those pederasts into the hallway with us? We're having a nice time laughing at you. We don't want to think about how this institution that has been protected, that has been sanitized by presidents from Kennedy and anyway, you know what I mean. Notre Dame, right? Pro-life Notre Dame. It's all part of the same thing. You know this. This isn't ninth grade civics. Catholic Church, Notre Dame, your lack of control over what happens to your body, yet extreme control over what they do to your children's bodies. Okay? As far as I'm going to go here, which is already too far, but I just say priests, and people are like, dude, don't even say that word. It's like calling someone a priest is like the name Adolf. It's just not used favorably that often. And I don't want that. I want the joke to kind of bump, another big pop, and then let's get out and you know, talk about being an older dad and all this other stuff. So last night at the Laughing Skull Lounge, where I only have three Wednesday nights left, my, dare I say, world-famous Wednesdays, myself, Nick Murphy's usually there. Andrew George is usually there. We do the goddamn thing. Last night, I'm going to get to it. Here's what I did, first of all. I subbed out the word priest because on the drive to the club, I put my phone away, I had the windows down, and I was just thinking. I was doing one of my favorite things and just letting my mind wander. Thinking about what I might want to work on because I'm going to record this half an hour at the end of July. In 2 weeks' time, I guess. July 26th. That's not 2 weeks' time. July 22nd at the Laughing Skull. I thought of a better word. So I don't bring in the entire Catholic experience and fucking bum out everybody's night while they're trying to watch, you know, amateur stand-up comics. I changed the word priest so it looks strange when I'm walking down the street holding a toddler's hand dressed like a priest. I changed it to so it looks strange walking down the street holding a toddler's hand dressed like a clergyman. And it got a big pop and no groan. Or if there was groan, it was, I didn't hear it because I was responding in the moment to, like, hell yeah, that worked better than priest, because it gets them to the water, but I didn't smash their head in it and I allowed them to have a drink. Does that make sense? When you say priest, it shoves their head into the holy water and drowns them in this horrific abuse that's happened over millennia, let's be honest. I just said clergyman, and that's enough to get them in the ballpark to know what I'm talking about. It's still kind of making fun of myself. They have a big, nice, warm laugh and a very small amount of groans. At least I didn't hear the groans because I was listening for the applause and I was listening for the laughter. And when it came, I was like, hell yes. And then I just said to the crowd in the moment, I said, I just changed that word from priest to clergyman. And they started cracking up because I'd already, I guess, like they got their toe wet in the creepy religious institution water with the word clergyman. And then when I said priest, they weren't destroyed by it or turn away in horror as one would do if you were ever face to face with a priest. So I said, I just changed that word. Actually, I just changed that to clergy. I think I probably said, I just changed it to clergyman from priest. And then they started laughing. And then I said, because it just feels like it's more inclusive of other religious figures who take advantage of children. And that got partway of a laugh. But I was just, you know what it was? I was just greedy. I'm like, okay, they're on with this, and I'm going to tell them what I did. And then in the moment, I was like, you know what? It actually, not only does it take priest out of the equation, it opens it up to all of the other youth pastors that are not Catholics that molest children, and they're out there. You just got to try different words is what it is. Try different things. I know there's something. I knew there was something in there, and I tried, subbed in clergyman, and it worked okay. Laughing Skull Lounge, by the way, was just ridiculous. I'm going to talk about Arnold too. If anybody here tuned in to hear me talk about the Arnold documentary, I'll do that. But I just want you to know, last night at the Laughing Skull Lounge, the show sold out. Okay, it's packed. So it's packed in the crowd. It's packed backstage. It's packed in the green room. And you know who dropped in? Catherine Blanford. Now she's like a celebrity drop-in, for Christ's sakes. Well, she's on the Burt Kreischer podcast, for goodness sake. She's been on Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, she used to host Limerick when I couldn't. Catherine Blanford dropped in. Clayton English dropped in. Wellington Juku dropped in. And Cypher Sounds dropped in. That's just a Wednesday night at the Laughing Skull. Oh, and Rena Kalm is in town. Like, what are we doing here? It was unbelievable. It was a blast. And the crowd stayed the whole time. They stayed, and they were hot, and it was a really good time. So what about Arnold? I've seen two episodes. I think the Arnold documentary that somebody told me about was worth watching. is three parts. There's his career as a bodybuilder. There's his, maybe that's an hour and a half of a bodybuilding career. There's his career as an actor. And it looks like the third one is going to be his career as a politician, which I have not watched. And it's a remarkable piece of PR for Arnold. Because it does, he tells the whole story. There is an incredibly small amount of other people talking about Arnold. And never once are they talking critically. And I don't give a shit about like Arnold doing a PR thing for Netflix. Good for Arnold. I'm sure he needs the money. But it lures you in as if it's going to be this super insightful, in-depth, almost like, you know, I found the 5-minute work week or here's all you have to do. But it's very it's very clear and, what are they doing? Elaborate in showing how Arnold had a vision for where he wanted to go in his life. And he put a plan together to do that. And it's really cool because he did it. You know, he saw some guy working out, some guy who was swole, playing, playing Conan the Barbarian, I think, or one of the Hercules, and one of those fucking meats. And Arnold's like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. He's coming out of Austria and sounds like a pretty rough childhood. His dad, something I'd never considered. I mean, I knew Arnold was descended from a Nazi. His dad was a Nazi. But I never considered that what they characterize is there were tons of Austrian men who came home after World War II as fucking losers. Like, they got their hats handed to them in the end by the good guys with guns. And that took a toll on them, and it took a toll on, you know, these sad Nazis who lost. Nothing worse than a losing Nazi, which Arnold's dad was. And so, of course, he beat the shit out of, you know, Arnold and his brother and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's horrific. But there's never, like, an in-depth, like, examination of what was... I mean, we see the outcome, right? Arnold's drive to get the fuck out of there. So it's really cool in... Arnold was, you know, in a small village in Austria, and he sees Hercules or whoever this guy is and says, that's what I want to be, and then just puts a plan to do it. Like, I have to just lift every day forever. But there's not enough, like, I don't want to say there's not enough. I could have used a little more context on, like, they're like, this guy is unbelievable. He's clearly head and shoulders above the rest. But it was never made clear to me, like, did it just so happen that lightning struck this boy in this tiny town of Austria and he was destined to be the world's top bodybuilder? Or did Arnold just have grind on him? Like, I couldn't tell, like, is this LeBron James? Like, did he start from a pretty good genetic athletic place, Arnold? Or did he just work? That was not clear, but he certainly works his ass off. But I just didn't know. Anyway, so Arnold becomes the king of bodybuilding, and he's also relentless in selling himself. He understands how to do that, obviously. He's done that his whole life. But what starts as like a cool, here's my mission, here's what I'm going to accomplish, here's my vision, and here's how I'm going to fulfill it. And you're just like, wow, dude, I should make a to-do list or put a pin at point A and a pin at point B and, you know, be clear about, well, you know what? I've been doing that. I've been planning a move to San Diego for a year and a half or whatever it's been, and I'm making it happen. So, but it just like, all right, cool. Arnold saw a vision. He had a vision. He asked more of himself than probably anybody else around him. And he just kept going, and he sold himself well, and he understood how to play the game, and he thrived. So he wins as a bodybuilder. Then he gets to Hollywood, and he was talking about like he was destined to come to America. And that it was bold, and, you know, the U.S., there was a lot of, you know, crazy, the rough, what do you say? You know, a lot of bad things happening. A lot of bad things, bad, that's not a good Arnold. It struck me, he said that, like, a lot of bad things were happening in the United States. And when he said that, he used, this was his three examples. There were protests against Vietnam. There was the Manson murders. And the hippies rising up. Of all the horrific shit that was happening in the 60s and 70s, Arnold focused on anti-war protesters, a murderer who very early on thought maybe the rich people shouldn't be as rich as they are, let's go kill them. I'm not defending fucking Charlie Manson, but you know what I mean? And then the third thing was the hippies are rising up. And then I was like, oh yeah, his dad was fucking Nazi. Anyway, Arnold is the narrator and like the scriptwriter. So you're just essentially reading or listening to Arnold talk about himself, but he's not providing any depth. He's only like, and then I was rich, and then I bought buildings, and I fucking grinded. And it's going to be inspirational for people, obviously. Like, look at Arnold and respect. He hustled. But, you know, in this podcast, we like to go deep and we like to be introspective, but also, whatever that is about someone else. Like, I wanted to hear about, like, so did that still fuck you up, you know, Arnold, with, you know, the way your dad, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, how did it, there's just too many times where something interesting happened in Arnold's life. Like, he drops in out of nowhere that he had some, like, open heart surgery and might have almost been dead in 1997. What the fuck was that all about? And, you know, in the spirit of brand management, were you scared that you couldn't let people in? And all this, a lot of interesting things this man made happen in his life. And he doesn't owe us anything, doesn't he? He's Arnold. I would rather, you know how fond I am of Vin Diesel. I'm waiting for Vin, just that one. I want to know the story about how, what you told your manager after Fast and Furious. I want to know how you held Universal up for the bag and executive producer, so you're, you know, half a billionaire now. I want to know all. I want to see a Vin Diesel documentary where Vin talks about Vin. But I didn't really learn anything about Arnold the man. And maybe it's because I'm such a asshole, frankly, and want to know the real. Like, I want to know the authentic. Like, that's why the comics who are showing themselves on stage are, to me, the most, if they're funny, I don't want to say the bravest, but I just like authenticity. There's no higher compliment you could pay me than to say I'm a real one. And I'm not saying that I am, but Arnold, what am I talking about? Fuck, I'm not comparing myself to Arnold. I just like, I want to see vulnerability, and I want to see honesty, and I don't want to see this like bluster and, well, fucking Reagan was great, and yeah, I get it. You ate. I thought the line should be, I will be back, but Cameron said, you're not the fucking writer. So I said, I'll be back. It's interesting. I'm going to watch the third part probably. I just feel like I would have liked some other people providing, like, what does it mean for the United States of America? What does it mean for the 1980s of America and the 1990s, the Reagan into Bush 1 and Clinton years, and this mad patriotic good guy blowing up shit? And it was, you know, Arnold and Sly Stone. God, that's a documentary I'd like to see. Arnold and Sylvester Stallone, like, outgunning each other. Like, I would like a cultural anthropologist to come in and say, well, this is the, you know, America flag up your ass jingoist spirit that, and Arnold, the greatest immigrant of all time. And then he became governor And then when the fires came, we're going to get the helicopters and this and that, and we'll put them out and put the fires and get them on the run and maybe shoot some rockets at them. I don't know if they get into Arnold's off-the-court activities. You know, they show a lot of footage about his marriage to Maria Shriver. They have not gotten into how that fell apart, as I understand it, when Arnold sired a child with his live-in nanny or maid or someone like that. And then, of course, there are lots of allegations of Arnold acting less than gentlemanly, I have heard over the years, particularly when California, in its least democratic process, had a referendum and overthrew its governor, Gray Davis, who was an empty shirt, and then Arnold slid right in. Constitutional scholars, or at least California political experts on this, who listen to this podcast, will you explain to me how Gray Davis got thrown out of office and Arnold replaced him? Because I believe Arnold was never elected. I believe he was put into office. I could be wrong. Maybe he was elected. But I know Gray Davis was yanked out. How did that happen? How can you just pull a governor? This was even before Republicans were doing this crazy, you know, minority rule where they're writing all these state legislatures. Anyway, it was interesting. I just, like, you made it, you know? You're fucking Arnold. He's 75 years old. And I guess kind of a little bit felt bad for him that he couldn't just, like, say, and, you know, it really hurt. And I was scared or, you know, and you're like, dude, he's Arnold. You don't, he's literally the Terminator. He's not going to have feelings, Sarah Connor. It's not a tumor. I sound like Lars from Metallica. Anyway, the first part about having a vision and making a plan, pretty cool. Then all the stuff that happens to him in Hollywood and the places he goes, he never like goes in that in deep. Maybe he's just not snitching on himself. But he doesn't, there's not a lot of depth to this quote unquote documentary. It's not much of a thinker. It's kind of like his movies. Also, I probably would have appraised the second act, the Hollywood chapter, a little more favorably if they would have spent some time on my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, which I'm sure came out in the golden years between 1988 and 1993. It was called Total Recall. 2 weeks. I thought Total Recall, when it first came out, looked pretty awesome. And I saw it. I think it was pretty awesome. I can't remember that well. But I was like, who is this dimer that is fighting Arnold all the way along? It turns out it was Sharon Stone. Good night, Sharon Stone. We'll sleep better on our own. That was a melody for a song I once had about Sharon Stone. Good night, Sharon Stone. We'll sleep better on our own. What does it mean? Well, I'm not one to explain the lyrics, but the song actually evolved into a different song, same melody, and the song was called Evan's Girlfriends. And the way it was sung was, because she's just another one of Evan's girlfriends. Good night, Sharon Stone. Just another one of Evan's girlfriends. You can find that and other Joe Smith and the Going Concern recorded music at Bandcamp. Just search Joe Smith and the Going Concern Bandcamp and spend $5 while you're there. Anyway, that's my review of Arnold. I am on shows this weekend. There's a show in Smyrna that I think is tonight, Friday night. I'm doing 20 minutes somewhere. Well, that's good publicity, dude. Why don't you just say somewhere? You know what? I'll find it and I'll post it on my Instagram story. Saturday night, though, I'm doing doing stand-up comedy, probably in a place that has very challenging parking and probably janky sound. But the last time I did it at that meadery, it was, and every time I've done it, it's berserk. And it's about time to put Shamoy on the real Don't Tell Me so I can get 200,000 Instagram followers, and then you come see me live, I'm not going to disappoint you. Not saying that a lot of those comics that you see on Don't Tell Me or Don't Tell are going to disappoint you, but you know what I mean. You hear the jokes. You get what I'm saying. I won't disappoint you when you come see me live. I'm going to make you goddamn laugh. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking to you on Tuesday. Well, I almost said I'll be back, but I will be back, and I hope you have a great weekend.